being here today. I want to thank the children for that song today. Thank you. Thanks for the choir. Appreciate it. As we begin here today, I'd like to invite you to pray with me, if you will, please. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we open your word today, your Spirit would be here to guide us. We need your blessing, and Lord, we need the wisdom that only your Spirit can give. And so we're praying, Lord, today that each of us in our study can glorify you, and that all of us can be encouraged and blessed. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I hope you'll follow along with me today in the scriptures. We're going to be looking at a few. Years ago, when my wife and I left the Baptist church, and we had went to a Revelation seminar in southeastern Ohio, and we started attending a Seventh-day Adventist church, I heard this text from Proverbs 22:6 many times by people in the church, and it was taken out of its context. And that was that if your children walk away from God and from the church, you don't have to worry, because someday they're going to come back because God has promised it. Now, don't blame yourself if they didn't do that. And don't blame God if your children rebel against you and against all of your instructions, against your spiritual guidance. Stop the self-incriminations. Get rid of all of the guilt. God hasn't broken a promise to you in regards to this. You know, many pastoral families and church members have not only guilt, but they're angry. They're ashamed because of what's happened in their families. They're guilt-ridden. They have feelings of failure as parents because their children have walked away from all of the instruction that they have been given. The parents even sometimes have resentment in their hearts against the church and against God. They have bad feelings against God and everything that He stands for. I've had friends over the years, because their children decided to go a different direction, they became so discouraged that they left the church themselves. Look at this text today in Proverbs 22:6. It says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. What a promise from God, if only it was true. You see, many families have been in despair. And many have been emotionally discouraged and destroyed, trying to rationalize in their mind what went wrong in their family. As parents, did they fail? It's not healthy to constantly be blaming ourselves or to be blaming God because things didn't turn out the way that we thought we had been promised. In Proverbs chapter 22:6, this is not a promise from God. It is a proverb. This text doesn't promise a positive outcome for our rebellious children. This is about our responsibility as parents to watch for our children's interest, where their gifts are at, what kind of talents they have, and to help guide them into their life's work. We are to help find and to develop a life path that gives glory to God, that helps them to prepare for serving society, and also to be able to provide for life's needs. We must know the way a child should go so that they can find happiness and fulfillment in life. So we need to help them pursue that. But we have to have some guidance ourselves. This takes a lot of prayer, friends. It takes a lot of patience. It takes observation of our children. It takes courage to be an adult parent so that we can give good counsel to our children. Listen, there are too many parents today that want to be the best friend to their children. Our children need time from their parents. What they don't need is for their 50-year-old parents to act like teenagers. They need parents to be parents, to be the adult in the family, to give good counsel and guidance and moral direction to their family. God has taken an enormous risk, friends, by giving every human being on this earth free will. In other words, He's given us the opportunity to be able to make choices for ourselves. Parents who are good and faithful spiritual people are not the only ones that God loves enough to give freedom of choice to. God will not force our children to be good as a reward for the parents' spirituality. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Amen. God is not going to give a reward of our children following in our path because we have been faithful ourselves. God gives free will to every child just like he has to every adult. They choose good or bad just like adults do. I want to give you some examples of that. Back in the beginning, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve had two sons, and those two sons had a choice in their life. Cain ended up killing his brother Abel. They both were growing up with the same instruction from the same parents, and yet both of those boys decided to do something different in life. We look at the priest Eli in the Old Testament, who had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and those two sons chose to go against the instruction of the high priest Eli, their father. And then Aaron, the high priest, who was the brother of Moses, he had two sons, Nadab and Abihu, who did not follow in the path of their father as a high priest. They chose to do something contrary to the will of God. And as a result of that, they lost their life. The prophet Samuel had sons too. And they were so bad that the children of Israel said, your sons are not able to follow in your footsteps because they're so bad. And we would like for you to give us a king instead. Isaac had two sons, Esau and Jacob. Both of them were bad boys. Both of them did bad things. In fact, when you look in Genesis chapter 28, and we're going to begin at verse number 6, and that's in Genesis chapter 28, beginning in verse number 6. And I hope that you will be following along either in your Bible or your electronic device. It says in verse 6, when Esau saw that Isaac had blessed Jacob and sent him away to Paddan Aram, to take him a wife from thence, and that as he blessed him, he gave him a charge, saying, thou shalt not take a wife of the daughters of Canaan. And that Jacob obeyed his father and his mother and was gone to Paddan Aram. And Esau, seeing that the daughters of Canaan pleased not Isaac his father, then went Esau unto Ishmael and took unto him the wives which he had, Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Nebaioth, to be his wife. He did something, Esau did, to spite his mom and dad, and he made a conscious choice to walk away from what God's instruction was for him and his family. And then we have Samson, who from birth had been set aside as a Nazarene, and he had been dedicated to God, and he chose to fellowship with the enemies of Israel and to take on many of their customs. He did just the opposite of what God had set him apart to do. He made a choice. And we cannot shame our children into making good choices or changes to their behavior. We can't do that. And the more we harangue them, the more we tell them about what they need to do, the less they're apt to do it. So what can we do as parents when we have some children who are acting like prodigals, who are rebelling against everything that God wants them to do? First off, I think that we need to love God ourselves. And we need to model for our children what it's like to be a real, true Christian. And I'm not talking about being a Christian just at church when we put on our churchy clothes and we come talk our churchy talk. I'm talking about what do we do at home when none of the people at church see us? Amen. What are we like when nobody else is watching? In our private time, are we really, truly modeling Jesus Christ to our family? Only you can answer that. But we need to let our children see what Christianity is really all about. And then we need to love our children in spite of the choices that they make. They have a right to make those choices. God has given them that right in the free will. And we need to love them in spite of what they're doing. We never should stop praying for them, no matter how hopeless it may seem for them. We should always lift them up to God in prayer. God loves them too. And God wants them to be in heaven just as much as he wants you to be there. Amen. I want to go back to the story that our elder read for us here in Luke chapter 15 in the story to the children. I know Tom didn't know I was going to preach from this today, but that's okay. You hear something more than once, you're bound to follow it. In Luke chapter 15, beginning in verses 11 through 32, we have the story of the prodigal son. And we see here in this story where the youngest son decided he wanted all of the heritage, the inheritance that was coming to him. He wanted it right now so that he could go live his life any way he wanted to. He made a free will choice to do what he wanted to do. You know, it's interesting here in this story that when we look at this, the father was not responsible for the sins that the son committed. Look with me here in Ezekiel chapter 18. I'm sorry. Ezekiel 18 at verse number 20. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, it says, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father, neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him." We don't have to answer for what our children do. If we have been faithful parents in guiding our children in the ways of God, and they choose to go in opposite direction of God and our instruction, it is on them, not us. They have a right to choose any way they want. And guess what? God will honor that, because he gave them free will to choose whatever they wanted. And we need to be able to do the same thing. The father is not responsible for the sins of the children, neither are the children responsible for the sins of the parents. And in Hebrews chapter 3, there's something about sin that it does something to each one of us. In Hebrews chapter 3, at verse number 13, in Hebrews chapter 3 at verse 13, it says, "But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." And you see, sin is very deceitful. We think we're having a good time. We think that what we're doing is really enjoyable. But you know, the sin that we participate in, it hardens our heart to the influence of the Holy Spirit. It hardens our heart to Jesus calling to us to come to him and give our life to him. And so this is what happens when someone participates in this kind of lifestyle where they make a choice to walk away from God and the instructions that they've been given. But the love of Jesus can soften the hardest heart. Do you believe that? Listen, friends, when the sun beats down on wax and on clay, two different things happen. The wax gets melted and the clay becomes hard. And that's the way it is in the heart of every individual in this life. It can either be melted with the love of Jesus Christ, or it can harden against and rebel against the Holy Spirit's teaching. That's a free choice that all of us make. And the more people participate in sin, the harder the heart will become. If it were possible, friends, for us to change someone by constantly pressuring them to and constantly haranguing them to change, you know, all of the lost people of this world would be saved. That's not reality. Us pressuring people, trying to harangue them into making a choice for God, is not what's going to bring them to a change. There are some people, friends, their hearts have become so hardened with sin, they have to go through some really difficult times before they begin to change. In Luke chapter 15, we look at that story of the prodigal son, and he had to go through some really difficult times in his life. In verse 15 through 18, it says this, "And he went and he joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And he, when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." You see, there is a hard time that has to come to people. Jesus' Holy Spirit comes, and he tries to woo us and encourage us and draw us to Jesus. But you know, sometimes that little soft voice of Jesus calling to us, we slam the door shut and we won't listen. And we continue to participate in the lifestyle that we like better. And our hearts become hardened. And so the Holy Spirit speaks a little louder. and we keep resisting the Holy Spirit's voice, and the Holy Spirit speaks louder. And so God starts to arrange things in our lives so that we have to start paying attention. And we go through some really difficult, challenging times in our life, friends. Sometimes it almost takes our life or the life of loved ones before we will actually wake up and listen to God. I want to encourage you today, whoever you are, wherever you're listening, that you will not wait until life gets so hard that you can barely bear it before you open your heart to Jesus. He's appealing to all of us today. He says, come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's standing at the door, what Revelation chapter 3 says, knocking, hoping that you and I will open the door and allow him to come in so that he can come in and have a fellowship with each one of us. I hope and pray that today, as you listen, that you will open your heart, that you will allow Jesus to come in and fellowship with you. You know, sometimes these hard times, they come to us because we have been so rebellious. God's timing and his ways of reaching people, our loved ones, are different than our ways. They're completely different. But friends, never give up. Pray about your loved one that is not following in the paths of God. Model that. Live it for everyone around you. Never give up, friends. And love your child or your prodigal in spite of their behavior. In Jeremiah chapter 31, in verse number 3, there is something here that God is trying to tell every one of us. In Jeremiah 31, at verse number 3, God says this, the Lord hath appeared unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Let the Holy Spirit apply the pressure to your prodigal, to your loved one that is not following in the paths of God. Let the Holy Spirit do that work upon the heart. However, never let your rebellious child or your loved one ever threaten or endanger you or the rest of your family. Get help before it goes too far. There are too many times that the family waits because they're family and they overlook the sins and the problems of their loved ones. And oftentimes it goes too far and somebody ends up losing their life. And I hope that those prodigals who are listening today, whether you're in this church or you're listening on the radio or the internet, I pray today that all prodigals will open their heart and listen to what God has to say. In Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning at verse number 11, God is saying this, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. And then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. A promise from God that if you will just stop, and if you'll just take a moment to listen to how much God loves you, and he proved that by sending his dear son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. Listen, friends, in Jeremiah chapter 9, and beginning at verse number 23, listen to this. All you prodigals who are listening to my voice today, Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning at verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. God loves you, and he longs for you to love him back. And I have so many people have told me in the years that I've been a pastor how they want to just go out away from God, away from their family, away from the instruction that they've received. They want to sow their wild oats. Well, that's kind of a dangerous concept, because I know a lot of people that have gone out and sowed their wild oats, and they're laying in the grave. Not everybody that goes out comes back. Sometimes the heart is so hardened with sin that they have no desire to return. And sometimes, physically, they're not able to make it. You may never come back if you take that concept. So parents, I'm encouraging you. Don't harass. Don't nag your children. because it will not bring about the desired behavior changes that you desire for them. And when you're in conversation with your prodigal, stop trying to change them. And if you're tempted to criticize them repeatedly, to tell them about the lifestyle that they already know that you're against, then pray that God will perform the same miracle for you that he performed for Daniel's lions. He shut their mouths. Listen, friends. Love your children, your prodigals, unconditionally. Don't take all of the blame and responsibility for their decisions, for their free will choices. Forgive yourself. Forgive your children. And always, always trust in Jesus, friends. He loves you, and he loves your children too. Will you join me in prayer, please? Heavenly Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for the opportunity that all of us have in serving you. And I pray, Lord, that every person listening to this sermon today would be encouraged to know how much you actually love us. I pray that we will open our hearts, no matter where we're at in life, and we will come to you and be cleansed of all sin, and that we'll be filled with your grace so that we can follow you in truth and in spirit. Bless us with your presence in our life today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.